This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant is brought to you by Alive, Commonwealth Bank, Divinia Grill Foods, Marco's Pizza, Mobile Garage Technologies, and the National Insurance Board.
Excuse me for my interruption. Will you come and look with reminder to say this coming Friday? And please come over the lawn. You went to see my number one sound round town. And it's a Friday evening. Boom! The people them tired of working. Fana, fana, Lord, them hear the disco playing. Boom! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be greater with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 liter. And it's a digital sweeter. See, Lord, them just start up with the echo chamber. Watch your man. Play the play. I didn't want to rock the game. Them off is tipping with them cats and down them tank. Oh Lord, play for divine. Let's keep them alive. Play this coming.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM with your guy Howard Grant in the house and the foundation on a beautiful Friday afternoon. It's a beautiful day. I got my tropical shirt on. I dropped my kids to school. I didn't know today was Bahamian Day. Where am I? Talk to me. I got a whole little like a tart thing. It's a lot. So happy Bahamian Day to you. I got my colors on. My daughter looked at me this morning. She says to me, welcome to the Hotel California. I said, why are you singing Hotel California? What are you doing, right? She said, no, Daddy, I just saw the shirt. I said, so you said I look like a broken in the hotel today? It's a lot. You need to stop it. It's a beautiful day. I feel festive. I don't know how you feel. I feel festive. I feel grateful to be here in this kind of a space. I'm so happy to be with you on this beautiful Friday. It's a casual Friday. And it's Tiki Fridays! Ladies and gentlemen, you know what to do. You go down there to my guy, Byron Colley, right down there at the Tiki Hut, and you can check him out. Let him know that Howard Grant sends you, the foundation sent you, and they can set some stuff up for you. Byron, I'm so thankful to you, my brother. We thank you so much for supporting us here at the foundation. Thank you so much for all that you continue to do for our community. You seem to be beyond just an entrepreneur, you're a mentor, and you're really being able to do a significant impact in the community. Byron, I want you to know that we are very grateful to you. Ladies and gentlemen, go down there and check out Byron, man. There's very good stuff that he has down there. A very quaint environment. Nice, man. This kind of a oval round table, the Knights of the Round Table. You can go down there, look persons in their face, and really get to know them. Go down there this evening. Anytime between the time of 5 to 7 this evening, you can go down there, get 2-for-1 and free hors d'oeuvre. Just let them know that you're here for the foundation, and he'll definitely take care of you. If you're out tonight with your sweet thing in the can, check out Byron and Tiki Fridays. It's so beautiful to have you guys. And it's a wonderful thing that you're here supporting us. That's on the Western Esplanade, right there under the point, over on the northern side. You can be able to check that out, right? I'm so grateful for that, ladies and gentlemen, to kind of do that. Today is a beautiful day. If you're here and you land in the land of the living, I always tell you, you'll be able to give praise. You got to give praise. And let's have this kind of a conversation. The line's going to be wide open today. Oi, today, we're going to have good conversations. You know, we had a call earlier part of this week, right? We had a couple of open lines this week, and we got a call. You know, Toby's always kept me abreast with everything that he's been doing. I told you over the past few years, we've been having good conversations with him about where we are where we should go, and sort of the things that what needs to be able to, we got to pay close attention to as it relates to this RCI project, this RCL project over on Lighthouse Point, Paradise Island, right? So, you know the whole nine, you know the layout. Toby had made some commitments. He'd recently gone to court because they didn't have any specific filing or any indication that he had this for sure. The court couldn't, they did not rule in his favor. But there was a significant commitment that was made to him that Kobe feels. No commitment was made in writing. You can check out the paper. There's some information in the paper that actually speaks to that. We did not speak to that. Let's touch it. Let's see if we can get it, right? We did not speak to that. I think we had a guess on that particular day. And we said that we're going to be able to touch it on Friday. Now, listen, I don't want to make every one of the shows about this, but I feel like this is a significant issue that deals with the Archer. And this is not digging in to show one person or another being a liar. Is that if that's what you're looking for, that's not what you're going to get from us. That's not what you're going to get from me. There was a commitment made not to a man, right? I think a lot of us see this in the light between two entities, between the government of the Bahamas versus Toby Smith. I think that's how we see this, right? And in the court of public opinion, you have kind of levied your position either for the government or for Toby Smith. But this has nothing to do with Toby Smith. I contend, right? I believe he is merely a vessel to agitate for the spirit of where we are. For the spirit of where we are. The light, the room just got lighter, ladies and gentlemen. It's very bright. Toby Smith to us. Toby, come right in, man. Sit down, right? For the spirit of where we are, I'm just talking about it. I'm just talking about some of the things right there. Take a seat right there, man. It's good to see you, my brother, right? For the spirit of where we are and what we've been talking about and what we've been doing, I think a lot of us in this space have kind of juxtaposed and looking in contrast between the government of the Bahamas, their words, their position, whether or not we can believe them, versus Toby Smith. At the forefront, this may have been the government of the Bahamas versus a white man. Very superficial, if that's how you're looking at it. As we dive deeper in this, we recognize that Toby's plight is our plight. That's how I see it. I have personally, and I've heard nothing but stories coming out day to day, on a day-to-day basis, my telephone rings off. Older persons, younger persons who have great aspirations to move towards projects, have done all the groundwork, have done all these particular things, did everything that was required. And they were kind of pushed aside for a greater project, you know, financially to be able to come in. I feel like this is the same thing that we're looking at. And so if you're looking for us to be able to dig deeper, to have a conversation as to whether or not our government is a liar or whether or not our prime minister has been not as forthcoming as he should have been and, you know, lack transparency, so forth and so on, that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is that there is a massive entity that continues to be able to swallow up with the presentation of great sums of money, what they can do for the Bahamas and the identity, the culture thereof that exists, this orange economy that we continue to be able to agitate for, continues to be able to get greener and greener. It has nothing to do with the culture that exists in this particular space. It has more to do with the money that can be infused in here, and everything else comes right after. I want to talk about this. I want to have this kind of a clear conversation with you and talk about where we are and move forward. The lines are open if you want to be a part of the conversation. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796, Toby Smith. Say good afternoon to the people, my brother.
Good afternoon, Howard, and good afternoon to all your listeners around the universe, because I need you universal. And I appreciate me being able to be here. Thanks for the kind introduction. Naughty, actually, I got a drum roll when I appeared with Naughty.
Oh, so what you doing now? You're ready to
I'm sure what's going on, but cool, man. Good afternoon, everybody.
Well, my producer here, you, we can find what I'm really going to tell me. It's so wonderful to have you in the studio with us, man.
Thank you.
And being able to chop down these things, I want you to be able to talk the synopsis of it in a nutshell for those persons who are on the fringes and not being able to pay attention. I think it's penetrated their environment, penetrated their space now, and they are well aware. Who are you talking about? The fellow over on Paradise Island? What do you name, Toby? So a lot of persons, your name has become household with this particular issue, and everyone is waiting with bated breath because your victory is a victory for who we are as a people. So, and we know where the court's position is, but in the court of public opinion, we're still deliberating. Talk to me, Toby.
Yeah, so I mean, let's set out a couple of rules here, right? This isn't about me trying to bash the government from the very beginning, right? That's not what we're about. What we're trying to do is trying to find a constructive way forward, and move ahead as an example of what Bahamian projects can do when they are allowed to thrive. So I really appreciate the support that I've received from the Bahamian people. Yes, I hear my name getting floated around plenty of places, and that's really not the kind of person that I am in as far as, you know, looking for celebrity or popularity. And it's become an issue that I've connected with many Bahamians, and it's that connection that I really appreciate, and it comes from people's hearts. That they could relate to this, connect with this, and wish to see, let a Bahamian get thrown a bone, man. Let a Bahamian succeed and be given the opportunity of ownership for at least one project, man.
Toby, you know, I listen to your project now. You know, let me tell you some of my business. You know my business. Everybody knows my business, but I can be forthcoming with you. I was a young man. I'm very young. But
you're still young.
I was a young fellow.
And
right?
I am too.
I know. Right? But let's talk like this. I've come up in a space where, whether it's been said directly or indirectly, just by observation, we have a very clear understanding that for you to move productively, for you to be able to get to the end and find success, for you to be able to close some of the projects that you have, some of the ideas that you have to have significant proximity politically. Talk to me, Toby. We can talk.
Right? Yeah.
This is over the years, right?
Right.
So I got involved in projects, got involved in these particular things, and one way or another, we find myself in politics, right?
Yeah.
And I said, oh my God, well, let me see if I could try this, you know, because they tell me you're here now, so try it. Mm. And even in that space where you have perceived proximity, this kind of perceived idea that you have the air of the proverbial king, right? And you put these things forward, bop! They knock it down. Mm-hmm. And so you ask yourself these questions. Is it because I'm a black man? Is it because I'm a Bahamian? Is it because this project is too good for me? Mm. Is it because this kind of a social idea traditionally says that young persons can't have that? Mm. And you keep hearing stories about the fact that, oh, your mind is too big for you. You hear people tell you these particular stories, and then you look in the papers. Over an 11-year stretch from 2012, you've made an application, you've run towards this, you've done everything, you crossed every T, you dotted every I, you did all the preliminary work to be able to get this done. Mm. There was an expectation that you can get this done. My God, Toby, you tasted the victory. You could feel the actual, listen to me, there was a point that I know that you were just about to celebrate because you thought this thing was done. And you turn around and the thing is taken up.
Yeah.
By a foreign entity being able to usher in barrels and barrels of money before our government yet again.
Right.
And we're left behind. So when I see you, Toby, I think of me. I said, Jesus, it ain't just me.
It's no, it ain't just you. It's me, but it's a lot of us. It's us. It's us as Bahamians that have to. You talked about close proximity, right? And proximity to politicians and whatnot. First of all, why do we have, what qualification, why is it that there's a qualification that we have to have proximity? Surely a Bahamian, as being a Bahamian, should qualify us to be able to apply, be able to have due process. So if there's 35,000 applications for Crown land, surely we shouldn't be prioritized over a foreign element. And if a foreign element comes in and wishes to apply after those 35,000 applications are already submitted, they should be number 35,001.
Yeah.
So as it relates to politics, politics do play a very big part of it. And, you know, I understand that it is the minister responsible for Crown Land's decision. It's the Prime Minister's decision.
Which is
decision,
the Prime Minister.
Right?
Historically, that has always been the Prime Minister's position.
Yes. Yeah. So as it relates to what is the due process, the due process that I've experienced is that after discussion, deliberation, due diligence, it comes down to a cabinet conclusion. Cabinet met, cabinet had all the relevant facts, and cabinet made a cabinet conclusion in 2018. It is then for whatever administration, but it's left with the government to follow through on that conclusion. Mm-hmm. So I know that I have a cabinet conclusion for my project. I do not know if Royal Caribbean has a cabinet conclusion for their project. But what I do know from reading what's in the press is that RCL have backed off of the Crown land that I was approved for within my lease. And to me, that opens the doorway up to say, for the minister responsible for Crown land, right, it's not contentious. RCL aren't, minister double dipped the same Crown land to me and RCL. We don't have that contention anymore. We've got a Bahamian project that's ready to go. We have proof of financing. Bahamians support it. I'm given the opportunity to the minister to say, you know what, let's do what's right. And I have no problem in giving the prime minister all the kudos for pulling this out of a hat and saying, right, Bahamians, here's an example of what can thrive when given the opportunity. And Toby, man, go for it. I'd love that.
Toby, the expedience that we see for us as the quote-unquote over-the-hill crew, and I hate to have this conversation like this, but I just need to bring everyone in the room.
Yeah.
I want to bring everyone
Please do.
In.
Absolutely. I'm all about being inclusive.
Okay, so let's bring everyone in the room. Uh-huh. For us, as we're watching this and we're recognizing exactly what happens here, and we're looking at it and we're looking at the players, lack of finances, because we know ultimately cash rules everything around me. Talk to me, right? Uh-huh. But lack of finances placed us in the position, like I said initially, whether it was explained directly to us or based upon observation, that our proximity to the seat of power could afford us an opportunity. And the closer we get to that from a political standpoint, we can possibly see some of our dreams come to the forefront. Uh-huh. And so when we see our politics take a side seat for the cash rules everything around me, uh-huh. even if you're 35,001 that we spoke about, uh-huh. the finances that you bring to the forefront seems to push you to the front of the thing, to the front of the game, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. So I want to have this very clear conversation with you. Do you believe, because it really comes down to dollars and cents,
yeah.
socially, and yeah. persons are saying, in contrast to the Paradise Island Lighthouse project that you have
yeah.
for under $5 million or yeah. under $10 million, let's do that,
yeah.
under $10 million in terms of what you want to pump into it, uh-huh. What you want to be able to do in comparison to this $100 million concept that's yeah. coming from RCL,
yeah.
people are still saying and leaning on the side of the finances and saying, man, Toby ain't got no money to be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
But is that in principle the conversation that we're having here?
Well, we could have that conversation right now. So if you've got $100 million, what would Bahamians prefer as benefiting them and then benefiting future generations, right? Would they prefer a past example or a present example, for instance, of Coco Key, right? Where Royal Caribbean come out, oh, we're putting hundreds of millions of dollars into this island,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And they're renting it, it's Crown land, right? Yeah. They're getting it for, what, $1 an acre a year or mm-hmm. something redunks, right? Mm-hmm. And then it goes around and they say, so we've invested all this money into the key, right? Mm-hmm. We've misappropriated the Bahamian name. Mm-hmm. The Bahamian name does not fit our narrative. It's not mm-hmm. good enough for us. Little Stirrup Key, we're going to call it Coco Key. But what they don't say is how much money they're taking out of the country. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you put two projects side by side...
That project's been gentrified because I've just seen something on... When I say gentrified is that it doesn't even have the authentic feel of the Bahamas. When you go there, this is when you watch TikTok and all these yeah, things, people say, yeah. oh my God, I've never been to Bali and it seems like Bali,
yeah,
right? It's not Bahamian.
Yeah.
It's not Bahamian.
Right, and they don't say, oh, let's go down to Haiti. No, they say, let's go down to Labadee, where it's our own private, you know, some deal that was negotiated with baby Dr. Allier.
Wow.
So when you look at, from what I understand, let's put two projects side by side, right? And let's just call them both a $20 million project, if numbers mean that much. What would Bahamians prefer? A foreign project that invests $20 million where when you look at the RCL deal, when they're saying, oh, it's a $100 million project, where they could easily inflate, you know, numbers of what they're investing in. So let's just take away the raw land. I understand that they spent about $54 million on 13.5 acres of private residential land. Mm-hmm. So they've already invested in the land. Essentially, it's Crown land. So let's, you know, let's para pursue say that the Crown land is worth $50 million also.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then when you look at looking at doing the upland development of investing an additional $50 million, whatever money that they make off of that, you notice that they're touting all these cruise passenger numbers as far as the arrival data is concerned. It doesn't say how many people get off the ship, although they got electronic bracelets and they'll know exactly who got off the ship, mm-hmm. how many people and how long for, because they click them in and out, mm-hmm. right? So when you compare two projects, both of the same capital investment, of how much of that money is immediately exported out of the country and how much Bahamians are taxed on their revenues, right? So they'll say, oh, we're reserving water sports for Bahamians. No, son, that's a given. Water mm-hmm. sports is reserved for Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually brought up by the Prime Minister that Coco Cay, that Royal Caribbean were engaging in things that were reserved for Bahamians, and mm-hmm. he put a stop to that. Mm-hmm. He said it in the press, right?
It often happens.
Right. So yeah. when they're saying, oh, we're going to give contracts out to ferry boat operators, homeboy, it's reserved for Bahamians mm-hmm. to begin with.
And this is the things that is supposed to get, and you know, politicians have a way in being able to craft this narrative and present it to the Bahamian people. So the narrative that came to the forefront in the face of sort of the denial and, you know, granting RCL this project
uh-huh.
was the finances right off the top, right?
Yeah.
So the right off the top, they got to say, hey, listen, look at this money, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, hey, I see some people talking about the fact that, hey, well, I want to see if I can get one of those contracts to be able to do the fast ferries going yeah. there. And so we tend to get excited about the crumbs. But
yeah.
never about the real core
wealth
of the
and
project.
Ownership. No. Right. So when you look at
we've always been in this position.
Right. So when you look at those numbers and what's actually getting exported out of the country, even if they generate, you know, all these hundreds of millions that they say they're going to generate, my project's going to generate over the life of the project hundreds of millions also, and that money is going to stay in the Bahamas and circulate. So if a tourist comes on a cruise ship with $100 in their pocket, they're told, oh, don't go over the hill. Oh, don't take cash when you leave the ship. Or, you know, don't even get off the ship. Wait until we get to our own private island, Coco Cay, and make it sound so appetizing. Oh, beware of pickpockets. All of these things, shoving notes under their doors, you know, beware. Right? All these things that just have these sheep led.
This is crazy.
Right? So then when they get to their private key, then they're spending the revenues there and the money's getting shipped straight out. So when you look at how much money remains in the Bahamas, my project, by you know, multiple folds, keeps that money in the Bahamas, keeps it circulating so that if there's a you know, some pineapples that are grown in Eleuthera come to market and I can showcase those Eleuthera pineapples over at our project, that's money directly to the farmers, right? You don't see none of these crews. I mean, look how long they've touted. They're going to put hot sauce in one of their restaurants in Coco Cay. That's a one Bahamian entity, great, gets to have a contract for supplying hot sauce, for goodness sake.
We're going to talk about that. Let me take a telephone call before I go to commercial break. Guys, you know what to do. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-431-6, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text 422-4796. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead. You left? You left already? All right, let me read one or two of these texts. All right?
Yeah.
You call back. You got the caller? Let me read one or two of these texts. It says, great show, as usual, Howard. Asked Toby what was the government option to give him in the negotiation and ask him if he's pissed off so much about what Brave said in the private meeting, right? I don't know why people were getting your private meeting business.
Yeah. But it's not going to help this conversation.
It's not going
to
help
with
the conversation.
With all due respect to the texter, I appreciate your question, but, you know, putting it out in the public domain or
it's not going to change anything.
Meeting, no, yeah. It ain't going to change nothing. No. I mean, I wish to continue dialogue with the Prime Minister to bring about a resolve.
That's it.
And at any point, government could say, you know what, Toby, we're going to honor your lease.
Let me take a telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good, guys. So I just want to touch on something else as well. I'm a Bahamian owner-operator of a business on Rose Island, right?
Okay.
And I just want you guys to touch on some stuff. So Toby right now is a Bahamian looking to open up a business on Paradise Island, went through his process. You know, up until the PLP got in power, I thought he had this project, you know, all signed, sealed, and delivered. But yeah, for me as a Bahamian, I employ about 30 people to work on Rose Island. You know, we put a lot of money into our project, right? As Bahamians, we get no concessions, right?
Okay.
So on another note, look at the situation. I guess Toby will touch on it when I get off, right? But Toby's project as a Bahamian, he would get no concessions. So if he staffs it, if he puts sodas up there, if he puts liquor up there, everything is out of our local economy, right? Same thing for us.
Right.
Every day, we as Bahamians compete with the cruise lines.
Every day.
They don't pay for anything. They don't buy a cup in the Bahamas. They don't buy a piece of ice in the Bahamas. They don't buy an orange in the Bahamas. They don't buy a piece of liquor or sodas. Nothing, right? Nothing. So think about, outside of this project, I just want you guys to think about the average Bahamian, right? So I staff my place with 30 people, and we sit at number one or two on TripAdvisor basically every day, right? So we're top of the search as a Bahamian company, and we get nothing. We don't get one concession, not a thank you, engine breaks down, nothing. We have to pay.
I tell you what you do get. You do get taxed. Talk to me.
Oh, yeah, we get taxed.
Okay.
But I just want you guys to understand that. So that's another revenue stream that Toby hasn't touched there either. But his business directly would have to spend money in the local economy every single day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, one more thing I want to talk on is the taxi drivers. Like, this is why Atlantis is mad. Atlantis does tours constantly, right? Atlantis is one of the second largest, the second largest hiring company in the Bahamas. They have thousands and thousands of people working there. Bahamians,
outside,
right?
Outside the government, yeah.
Right, they've done a lot for the Bahamas. What does that do for their tours? Do you think, and I know for a fact because I have foreigners and friends that come here all the time on the cruise ship, the cruise ship staff talk so bad about the Bahamas, it's incredible. Mm. And they only push their business. So my business now will directly suffer because of that project. That project, the tourists that would have come to us on Rose Island, that would have supported my 30 staff, would have put food on the table for them, would have gone ahead and helped me support the Coca-Cola and this one and that one. That is money coming out of my pocket to support what?
Wow.
It just doesn't make sense. This project as a whole makes no economic sense.
You mean the Royal Caribbean project?
The Royal Caribbean project makes no sense. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You can't tell me how this makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it as a Bahamian businessman. And outside of this, the Bahamas wants to make money right now. I've been, you know, like I said, trying to get a commercial license to do industrial here is like pulling teeth, months and months, just wasting.
There's so many
ways that you could tap into making money here. The government just needs to put their foot on the ground and start doing business with its own people.
Yeah.
And start putting us on the back burner.
Can I ask a question, please? And without revealing, perhaps that's your call on revealing, you know, your name or the business name, etc. But when cruise ships perhaps have approached you, have they said of what kind of deal they want as far as what percentage of the gross revenues that they want to take off the top for sending you people?
Yeah. So the cruise ships have approached us many times, mm-hmm. and we've never done a deal with the cruise ship, because what the cruise ship does is they tell you that they will inflate the price. They want a ton of money.
So let's use an example. If you sell your tours to anybody that wants to book it online, or Bahamians want to come up to Rose Island and experience a beautiful Rose Island.
If the tour is $100.
If the tour is $100 that you offer it for instance, can you give us some math of what they're saying or what they want to mark it up by and what you get net?
So they have come back to us. Pretty much they will double your price.
So it'd be $200.
I don't know what my price is, but they will double the price, essentially. And what ends up happening, and the reason we've never done it, is because we get a lot of direct bookings because of our project, how amazing it is.
You don't need the crew. You'd be better off selling $100 tour for $100 and you getting 100% of that money. You get $100 in your pocket to pay your staff and circulate the economy many times with local suppliers, wholesalers, vendors, indirect businesses.
But don't forget, the other thing too, right, is we do a lot of business with the tour operators here. So the tour operators that sell our package, they get a percentage of our money too, right?
Mm.
So that goes into the direct economy of the Bahamas. So you have all of these tour desks in the different hotels, staffed by Bahamians, all owned by Bahamians.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of revenue that the government is just basically burning up. It's gone. Right. So I don't understand the fact. Let me give you another example, Toby.
Yeah.
For us as Bahamians, I always hear this thing with the cruise ships. Oh, you guys don't do enough in the Bahamas. There's not enough things offered. Guess what, Toby? You, with your project, may do well, but for us, we can only sell to a couple of the cruise lines. Why? Because some of these cruise lines hardly spend any time in Nassau. They touch down, they let their people off for a couple hours, they want them back on the boat, and you know where they send them? They take them to private islands they can spend the entire day.
Yes, so sir. And open their casinos and their retail and all nine years.
There's so many ways to fix the cruise line here, and there's so much revenue that is just, like you said, taken out of the country here and not put into our product.
Wow.
It's just a shame as a Bahamian businessman. It's discouraging. It's very discouraging.
Amen.
Not to be on the even playing field with these guys when they have everything and they pay for nothing coming in the country.
Yes,
everything
sir.
They bring in,
man.
They don't buy anything.
Amen.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much for your telephone call, your contribution. It was it was weighty. And I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to do that. I don't know whether or not we're looking at this. And I believe that whether directly or indirectly, our governments seek not to be able to educate us about these particular things. So all we look at is what they present at the forefront, which is the numbers. We can't do that anymore. Guys, let's take this quick commercial break and be right back. We're having a good conversation with Toby Smith. We're talking about entrepreneurialism and how we can get empowered to be able to take that next step to true, true ownership. Take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
At Marco's Pizza, you don't have to feel guilty about enjoying our pizza. Now offering a gluten-friendly cauliflower crust. It's a perfect excuse to eat your veggies with Marco's tasty gluten-friendly cauliflower crust. Made with real cauliflower. Real gluten-friendly. Try our new cauliflower crust on any small pizza. You can only find our signature gluten-friendly cauliflower crust at Marco's Pizza Bahamas. Order now at marcospizzabahamas.com.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
July, August, September.
Bendy, what on earth are you doing now with all those red X's on the calendar?
I verified in person for my NIB pension today, so I'm crossing out all the months until I have to verify again.
Oh, yeah. By law, we are required to verify twice a year, in our birth months and then again 6 months later. It's important so we can continue to receive our benefit payments.
Yes, the friendly lady at NIB reminded me that the verification forms are available online at select retail locations and that you don't even have to verify in person. Once a sanctioned authority certifies your form, it can be emailed to verification@nib-bahamas.com or placed in the Dropbox at any NIB location.
NIB is making everything so convenient. The verification process is simple, and it's all outlined on NIB's website and social media pages. At NIB, they're making it easier for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Excuse me for me to interrupt, Sean. Will you come? And a quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, I'm please gonna roll the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town.
And it's a Friday evening, boom!
The people them tired of working.
Fena, Lord, them hear the disco playing, boom!
It made them feel.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful, laid-back, sort of a casual Friday. I don't know, I think I got to kind of, you know, rename this, because every Friday it seems that we go off on a tangent and talk about some weighty issues. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just tuned in, where have you been? Talk to me! But I'm grateful to have you, glad that you kind of tuned in with us today. Today we got Toby Smith in the house and really talking about this project. He made commitments to us earlier this week, called me and says, Howard, I'm ready to come have a conversation. I am ready to have this conversation. And he's here with us today, really being able to talk about this. And, you know, the meat and potato of this is that it's for me, Toby. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. And maybe you feel like I'm wrong, because this is all about you and you know about the fight and the sort of commitment that you've had over the years. But sometimes these things transcend you. Sometimes your fights and your commitments, the work that you've put in it, goes above your head. And sometimes you got to yield this to an environment that seeks. There is a saying that says, when you do right, I think that's what it is, when you do right, the universe conspires to assist you in those particular things. Yeah. And I think that this is where we are right now. There is a universal conspiracy to ensure that this opportunity is not only given to Toby, but is given to Bahamians as we move forward. Let me take this telephone. Guys, get preachy quickly. Let me take this telephone call.
But you're right.
Call me on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Toby, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's up, Jeff?
Right here, man. Toby,
yes,
let me ask you a very interesting question.
Okay.
You know, we have heard about many of these entities that is currently in the Bahamas doing business. Prior to them coming here, they were granted concessions.
Right.
Has the Bahamas government, as far as, and I'm not just speaking to this current administration, but has the past administration offered any concessions to what it is that you envision that you would like to have brought about, but it has not happened because your plan, well, as far as we on the outside here, has fallen apart as far as the government is concerned. What has the government offered you in terms of concession?
In terms of concessions under the Hotel Encouragement Act.
That's it.
That's included within
that. Because I was waiting for you to tell me anything beyond that. That's it. The Hotel Encouragement Act affords you the opportunity to be able to get these things. And I think we are very familiar, Jeff, with the Hotel Encouragement Act. You can get some money. Okay, you can get some money. Go ahead.
No, not that I could get some money, that I get concessions in under the Hotel Encouragement Act to be able to import construction and appliances, materials, et cetera, in duty exempt or with a lower duty rate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which all have to go towards the project, not like my front room setting.
Okay, well, let me close on this one. I mean, as a Bahamian, as an entrepreneur who wants to represent what the Bahamian people truly can do, can aspire to, can bring about.
Yeah.
Is there anything outside of the Encouragement Act as a Bahamian now that the government has offered to give you assistance with? That's what I'm really getting at.
Because I feel like the spirit of what you're saying is you're kind of oozing this idea of Bahamianization in your conversation, right?
Of course.
I know that. I feel that. I could feel you pulling and trying to be able to find out whether or not the back road of this is about the empowerment of Bahamians. But even though this is a concept from A.D. Hanna, even though a great deal of persons have talked about this kind of an idea that exists and trapped in the DNA of Glenys Hanna Martin and why she stood up in these particular things, that has nothing to do. That ain't on the table at all. That ain't on the table at all. The only thing here is what's on the table, and what's on the table is the Hotel Encouragement Act and him fighting for a piece of crown land that he's been able to do. Government. That's it.
I mean, I don't really mean to laugh at it, right? But I mean, this is you talk about a teachable moment. This is really a laughable moment, you know, because here it is now, and I'm even going to preface this comment to the previous caller.
You know, I got 30 seconds. I got to go.
Yeah, I'm going to close right now. The previous caller, who is also Bahamian, who also spoke to his difficulties in terms of doing business in this country, whereas it seems as if there's no outcry coming from the cruise ships or anybody else in this country in terms of the benefits that they're receiving here. We have to fix this problem for Bahamians and once and for all.
And this is one of the steps that we have to take.
Seeing us on the back for in a man.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call, Jeff. Ladies and gentlemen, you know we got to be able to wrap up and take a commercial break and get to news. But this is the steps, Jeff. As you talk about, we have to fix this. This collective conversation about the separation from significant opportunities, the opportunities that you dream of. Man, let's just shoot straight. We are here. All of us don't just want to open up I don't say this disparaging. I just want to say to you, based upon what we've seen in our community, based upon what we're familiar with in our community, whether that be a chicken shack, a food store, or one of these particular things, there is aspirations to go beyond that. Many of us have worked in close enough proximity for years that we say, okay, if afforded an opportunity, I'll do it like this, I'll do it like that. And when we present ourselves professional and prepared to our governments, we're left on the outskirts yet again. That's
so let me ask you something. Should we be pursuing things that we have ambition, all of the boxes that we could possibly check, financing, a business plan, experience, qualifications, all these things?
You got everything
right?
checked.
You got everything checked, right? So should our ambition be limited to our plan, or should it be limited to I just could take what I could get? So if that means that I got to sell water on the side of the road because I got to be able to provide for my kids, meanwhile, I'd like to be able to have a corn farm out Carmichael Road, and I just need the land, and I done been growing corn in Cat Island for the last 20 years that my grammy taught me how to grow, right? Give me the opportunity so I could have a roasted corn placed down on wherever. It's Bahamians. Are you settled? Are you just getting what you could get, or are you getting what you truly dreamed of?
This is what we've done. Historically, even in the conversation,
but we had no choice
about medicinal cannabis.
Right.
The conversation about medicinal cannabis and whether or not we're going to be able to get licensed and be able to be true owners or only be on the service arm, this continues to pop up.
So what do we do? Do we just settle for what?
We've been conditioned to accept the crumbs.
Yeah.
Let's take this commercial break and get back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today. We're doing the thing. It's supposed to be a casual Friday. I feel mad formal. Let's be able to get into this, right? Let's get into it, guys. 96.9 FM radio. We're going to take a break for commercials, get into news, and be right back after this.
This coming Friday, I'm please gonna roll the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town. And it's a Friday evening, boom! The people have tired of working. Fana, fana, Lord, them hear the disco playing, boom! It made them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be great and with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 3 star. And it's the disco.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Devania's Grilled Food and Products are now open in the Kenneth Plaza, Prince Charles Drive. Come, you must try their jerk chicken, jerk pork, and all their amazing grilled food. Grilled daily to perfection using all their amazing sauces made right here in the Bahamas. Devania's, grilling good food for life. Call or WhatsApp Devania's today at 817-4468.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This coming Friday, I'm please gonna roll the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town. And it's a Friday evening, boom! The people them tired of working. Fana, fana, Lord, them hear the disco playing, boom! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be great and with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 3 star. And it's a digital sweeter. See on the blues are up with the echo chamber. Watch your man. Play the play. I do
them on tea off the game.
Them off is stepping with them cats and them tame.
Oh Lord, play for the vibe, let's keep them alive. Play this coming, see my feet jumping. Oh, I'ma play LP.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company. Today, it's the foundation. Today, I'm sort of a casual, is it casual? I don't know where we are in this whole thing, but you know, we dressed and ready to go. We're so happy that you kind of tuned in today. If you're just tuning in, the show for today is really about Bohemian entrepreneurialism, and really being able to find out whether or not we're empowered by our government. You know, collective governments have had significant conversations with us about the idea of innovation and creativity, tapping into innovation, tapping into creativity. The former government dived deeper in being able to identify the strategic or specific economies, bringing it to the forefront. The orange economy, the green economy, the blue economy, the pink, the fusion economy, whatever. They keep bringing these particular things to the forefront and then attaching this concept and idea of empowerment and creativity to be able to show yourself available. Well, today we have a guest that's in the house with us being able to talk to us about over the past 11 years, his innovation, creativity, his sort of due diligence, his commitment, his application, his sacrifice has all been played on the line for an opportunity that he's seen that none of us, trust me, I only see a bunch of rock when I look out there. And he's seen a vision that could be able to come to the forefront, presented this concept to the government, and the government, Grammy said, turned cat gut on him at that particular time and presented this particular concept externally as a bartering tool. Talk to me. Let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. As a bartering tool to be able to get something else. Or I'll do this for you if you throw that in the bag. I'll do that for you if you throw that in the bag. We're here again. And we're all consumed with this idea that this $100 million, that's a lot of money, Howard. That's a lot of money. Do we reject us for money? Do we sell our birthright for a bowl of porridge? Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the studio with Toby Smith. Toby, it's good to have you in the studio with us, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you, Howard, and having the opportunity to be on here and your listeners.
I'm grateful that you're here, man. A lot of persons are calling in. Guys, you can give us a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796, and you can be able to do that. Let me read one or two of these texts. It says, as a contractor that worked on Prince George Wharf, I heard one cruise ship captain say, don't go over to the straw market. It's only garbage in there, along with the most vile negative stuff. And he was docking his cruise ship here in the Bahamas. This is the kind of concept and idea that foreigners have as it relates to being able to come visit the Bahamas, but not necessarily be a part of what we have here as a community. Talk to me about that. That's not what your project is all about. It's Bahamians first. This is all Bahamians in a native environment that provides an authentic experience for all those coming here to our shores. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, so it was a few years ago, right, where there was a Disney, I think she was in charge of entertainment on one of the Disney ships, and she was over by Ararat Key to say, Nassau, what a dump. And was just totally downplaying Nassau, just denigrating Nassau. So what do we do? Do we take that as negative criticism and, oh, you just tourists coming in here making noise? Or do we actually look to do something different? What I did as a Bahamian is I went downtown and I cleaned up Rawson Square all day with my crew, mm-hmm. picking up garbage, picking up all kind of stuff up in the bush around Rawson Square, mm-hmm. over by Sir Milo Butler's statue, mm-hmm. straightening out the chains that are all around there and, mm-hmm. in the flower beds and whatnot, with a whole crew, right? Gardening tools, the whole nine yards. I am trying to make a difference in the environment in which I live in to improve it for the tourism product. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you do have captains and crews and sales directors and all this whole machinery at work of where tourists are being guided to spend their money. And if they're spending it in retail, what's the ownership of those retail stores and how much of the cruise ships getting back as preferred vendors? But Howard, you mentioned a point earlier on by saying that this sort of transcends Toby. This is bigger than Toby. I get it. This is not at this point about Toby. This started with a very humble idea, having already restored public art in public places, the sculptures. I was the one that did Ringo the Flamingo by Fusion. I built that in my driveway with my kid. Because I was asked to, after having restored other sculptures in Nassau, right? Right? So this came about as an innocent, noble idea about this lighthouse looks like a dump, right? And this is the first impression that cruise passengers get, and multi-million dollar yachts come it going into the harbor. So it started as a noble idea of how, what can I do, what can Toby do to fix up this lighthouse? Mm. And it was born from that idea, and to be able to get revenues by having a beach club so that those revenues could be used in supporting the $1.5 million or whatever it takes to restore a lighthouse, right? And this is now snowballed in a massive avalanche of Bahamian support into how are others like Toby, how are other Bahamians...
Toby, you know how much you exist in this country?
Plenty.
You're plenty. Sitting, you're talking to yourself right in the room.
Yeah, man.
I'm
how
here.
How many stories? Yo, I feel you, man. And how many stories of people call me, man, Toby, you go, boy. Strangers.
But Toby, we have been traditionally told to let it go and let God. That is what my mothers, our mothers. And
LG,
I said,
LG.
Right? Yeah. Let go and let God, right? Yeah. Our mothers, historically, black mothers in our community would say, well, baby, you know, sometimes a little bit bigger than you, you got to let it go and let God deal with it, right?
Which is good advice.
It's good advice.
However, to what extent do you take that advice?
But Toby, let's just shoot straight now.
Yeah.
When people say, let Jesus take the wheel, be very clear about this, and I don't want to be insulting about this. The Father Almighty has never driven a car in this time. He hasn't existed in this time. We are prepared for this time. Yeah. We've been called for this time.
Yeah.
We have to be able to stand up for the fight. Toby, we wouldn't have majority rule in this country if we didn't fight.
Where are we 50 years later? Majority rule, where are we now?
Let's talk about these things. See, if we don't be able to rally up ourselves and understand that this fight about letting go is that not what happened during the Burma Road riot? Is that not what happened during Black Tuesday? Is that not what happened during these particular times? Persons let go and let God, and there was transformation come. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It is time for us to transform this country. We cannot continue to yield our strength to a government that manipulates us. And I'm not talking about FNM or PRP.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a systematic manipulation that continues to be able to suppress us as people.
So
we
Flaminous,
have to be able to get up.
Flaminous. Oh, we've got a $1 billion project going into Albuquerque.
Flaminous.
$1 billion, right? So they're importing all of their wholesale goods in, right? From the States. They're not buying it from local wholesalers. They ain't going to JBR and picking up a pound of nails, right? Then they want approval. Oh, but it's going to provide jobs. It's going to provide jobs. And then they want work permit approval for 280 Mexicans to come in and put up walls. We can't put up walls.
That's crazy.
Right? And then you got Disney going in the Lighthouse Point South of Lutra. Oh, but it's going to provide jobs for Bahamians. Right?
See,
but then they go hire American Bridge, an American company, to put in all that they need down there for the on the ocean side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Toby, the idea has always been to give people this contentment. Politicians are in the strategic position. Guys, I see your telephone calls. I can take it right now. Politicians are in the strategic position that when persons come to them, our parents caused this, you know. Our grandparents did that, you know. After 1973, when the Union Jack fell and the Bahamian flag rose and there was this proverbial Black Moses there, our grandmothers would say to us, baby, you want a job? You ain't got to work in the field no more. You ain't got to do this no more. Go down there and talk to your MP. That tradition has not stopped.
Mm.
So the MP, the member of parliament who represents a constituency, understands his or her responsibility is to find job.
Mm.
So whenever they talk to an external entity, the first thing that comes in, how many jobs you could provide.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to satisfy an immediate need in their community. They don't have any long-term vision about ownership and opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even hear that on a campaign trail.
Mm-hmm.
They only tell us about an immediate opportunity for you to satisfy a hunger that you have.
Yes.
But it's insatiable in this country.
It is.
It's insatiable because no one job could satisfy a dream that lives within us. And that's why you're here, Toby.
Right. And so if... The first question out of a voter's mouth is, well, what about jobs, right? And they're pacified by hearing, oh, it's going to be hundreds of jobs. But if in eventuality it doesn't actually give employment to that person, right? They've had the faith. They've been told by their MP, oh, this could mean jobs. But if it doesn't actually equate to them having jobs, what do they get? Is it that people are satisfied receiving a ham or a turkey?
You know what they say? You know what they say?
Go on.
Well, thank God you get something. That's what they tell you, Toby. Yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah, but listen to
thank God you get something.
Yeah, right, but yeah, so, all right, so how about that? But what would you prefer? Something? Or would you prefer 10 turkeys? Or would you prefer to have a turkey farm that you own?
at the end of the day, we need to be able to shift the conditioning in our community. Let's take a telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Grant.
Hey, my brother. What's happening with you?
Yeah, and good afternoon to Toby.
Good afternoon. Before you
enough
start,
respect,
before
you... As you would say, enough respect. And so, Mr. Grant, man, you know, you can't also about... I agree with everything what you're saying as far as the contempt for the Bahamian people. Now, the caller from Rose Island, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, I can identify him and Toby. You see, we Bahamian people, someone always have more money than the next. Remember when they say Joe Louis pulled up on the side of Tiger Yard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he made Tiger look small. So, the snobbery... You know, I can understand where Toby comes from. Someone is always richer than someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the politicians, right? Even the ones that preceded this one, they can't see beyond a foreign investor profiling with an empty briefcase,
mm-hmm.
all right? They can't see beyond that. So I always said that there should be a moratorium on selling our islands, right?
Yeah.
Now, when I listened to the caller from Rose Island, who gave a panoramic, chronological, financial ecosystem outlook,
mm-hmm.
on the repercussions of this BS that we're going through in this country, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I listened to Toby. You see, Howard, if you can't put a moratorium, then the fact that, you know, I used to go to Rose Island avidly, I mean, all the time with my father on boat. He had this boat from 30 foot, 40 foot. We used to go there all the time. Uh-huh. So I haven't been in a while. But what I'm saying is, the fact that I hear in a Bahamian saying he booking doors and he have some ownership on that island makes me feel better. You don't make a difference with no white, black, country, a Bahamian sound
yeah.
like me.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what I'm vexed about is the government can't, the clairvoyancy, they're so myopic when it comes to us. They could at least wait until some Bahamians have some money to even invest in these islands. And then, as the call, when I listen to the guy from Rose Island and he gave a whole chronology on how the money trickles down, right? This is the way it should be. So we see how it affects the economy.
Yeah.
So obviously the cruise ship, I've become greedy, and this is what I wanted to punch in, Howard. I've spoken to people who work on Coco Key. So we know they took away the name, right?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. what I'm hearing, and people on the ground, there are environmental breaches going on there as far as disposing of sewage. And I don't care what nobody mm-hmm. say. I spoke with someone, and he talked about how the system is set up now.
Yeah.
I need Mr. Joseph Dowell or someone. If you could get down there within an hour.
Let's go on the cruise over there, my brother. Let's
see, the
go.
Reason why the reason why they like the Bahamas is because the politicians are all wearing pajamas. They negotiate with plantation politics, they still love Massa, and they can't see beyond their own pump and pageantry. Mm. I sick of them.
What can I?
Thank you, my brother, for your telephone call. He gone.
While you're hopefully listening, I've heard him many times on the radio, and I was trying to say it before you, but before you said what you wanted to say. That young gentleman right there, people might judge him on his accent. People might judge him of the way he has excitement and passion in what he's saying. But I've always been impressed by that caller.
Every time.
Every time, my
Every
brother.
Single time.
So bless up, my brother. I appreciate you calling through and you using the vocabulary that shows people you are highly intelligent. You research your things. You've done the research on... I've heard you saying things about COVID, about wealth, about integrity, all these different subjects that you spoke every time, man. So I like you when you call in, man. I got to say, when I'm on the outside looking in, and yeah, you raised some very important points that the cruise ship, when you look at their material and when they hogged up the town hall, the town planning virtual Zoom call... They were simply trying to pitch and say, oh, we've been coming to the Bahamas for 50 years. We've been doing this, doing that. But what do we actually end up with is just crumbs. Oh, we support the Bahamas Feeding Network. They took the whole Bahamas Feeding Network on their cruise ship. You don't think when those guys came back that they're all gung-ho Royal Caribbean? Right? They'll stand there and make sandwiches and get some photographs, and they're gone. They don't have no office in it. They ain't headquartered in Nassau. They'll say the Bahamas is our number one destination, right? But what they mean is Coco Key, right?
Toby, you're trying to tell me for two sandwiches they do that?
Yeah, man. We support hurricane relief. You've got a bound duty that you've got a vessel right there that's half full to fill that up with as many people as possible in Grand Bahama and bring them into safety. And then they want to tout it in their advertising. Mm-hmm. Oh, hurricane relief. How much relief I bring out there. So, Howard, you said LGLG. I don't know if you know it or not, but mm-hmm. I put signs up in the public domain. Yeah?
I saw them.
Yeah. So, this too shall pass. There was actually a sign that said LGLG for that exact same reason. So, when you see, like, Love Rule down by Parliament Street and by the Marathon Light, you see wear your mask, protect our kids, reduce the crime.
What's you and your daughter did that?
No, I did them by myself, man. Okay, that's a collection. So when you see them signs out there, it ain't some crazy fella. That's a proud Bahamian trying to encourage other Bahamians to let's band together. Don't let people divide us. Let's stand up for what we believe in bringing about a peaceful resolution, not only to this matter, but for things that people feel this passionate about.
Let me take a next telephone call. Call you on the line with us live, guys. If you want to give us a call, please, you know what to do. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Are you speaking to Toby?
Good afternoon. Yes, sir.
Toby, give me your number, please. Your cell number.
I'm not giving it out of the line, but if you go to...
Text me at 827-0111.
Hold on. I get the stroke. I put my phone. All right, hold on.
You ain't had your paper and pen ready?
No, I got the stroke. I can put my phone where it is.
I'm sorry.
827?
Hold on. 827?
0111.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Let me take a next telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, call you on the line with us live. Okay, guys, you know the numbers. You won't be able to kind of get in there. You can do that. Let me read a couple of these texts. It says, do you know if any other Bahamians have applied for the same crown land? Is a question that they have there. And it says, sidebar, please ask Byron at Tiki Hut to always include a cherry and lemon peel on his Bahama Mamas. That's the real thing. Go check them down there. Let him know when you get down there to be able to do those particular things. Let me see if I can read another text. It says, I've been following this matter and would just like to say that my heart goes out to Toby.
Thank you.
And I must commend him for delivering a public apology that was sound and no undercurrent. Great example of others. Great example for others.
Thank you.
I hope that you will continue to apply again. Just a question. Other than the approval needed from the Parliament or Prime Minister for Crown Land, were there any other components of your project that needed outside of what is required for a normal business license?
No. So the regular requirements would be to then go to town planning, get town planning approval, get physical planning approval, get your business license and national insurance payments and all the rest of it, get registered up. So nothing outside of the ordinary that any other business would have to go through, no.
So says, hi, Howard. Please ask Mr. Smith to explain how he argued all those years, went to court, only to find out that he did not have a lease. Who's his legal advisor? I don't think they understand the process of how it happened or didn't happen.
I'm not going to get into the legal battle of things. It was that I was offered a lease. It was drafted. So first of all, there was a cabinet conclusion, which is the genus of a lease. And a cabinet conclusion means that the cabinet met collectively and collectively decided in 2018 to go ahead and they approved for me to be issued 5 acres of crown land on the western.
This was the inception. This is where the beginning starts.
That's the inception. That's the whole embryo of what went on, right? And then once cabinet makes that cabinet conclusion, then a copy of it goes to the governor general over to now who's the king, right? And the rest of it is put into a vault and kept at cabinet. But then the staff, the administrative side of things has to kick into place. So now that the minister has directed that, then their permanent secretaries kick in amongst different departments. It was put through those different departments, including the Office of the Prime Minister, the Bahamas Investment Authority, the Attorney General's Office and the Office of Legal Affairs, as well as Antiques, Monuments, Museum Corporation and the Department of Lands and Surveys. And all of them are collectively responsible for putting in their component of comment, interest, amendments, however it might be, to the point of then crystallizing a approved by the minister, vetted, perfected, and agreed lease that was offered to me. It was offered, and I accepted it in its entirety, signed, sealed, delivered, and paid for, and delivered it back to the government. The government then got then turned around and offered the same crown land to RCL, who, you know, they've got the biggest bag of cash, apparently. And it was that RCL then, you know, swoop in, and now they've then it was realized that they doubled up the same land. Minnis knew exactly what he was doing, I believe, in doing it. And he's even said out in public that he did it, and it was supposed to be tied to the Grand Lucayan.
Yeah. That's what you talked about.
There you have it. So, you know, what's the motive? Well, they dealt it to me. Carl Bethel then called me in. So check this out. You were saying
Carl Bethel in his capacity as
Attorney General.
Attorney General.
Right. So
during the time.
So you alluded to the fact earlier on about, you know, did I have a chance to celebrate the fact? So, yeah, I actually, so I signed, sealed, delivered it on the 8th of January, delivered it back on the 9th of January, 2020. And then I actually went public on Facebook to say, hey, guys, I've got some really good news here. I've actually got approval. I've got the lease. I'm excited. Let's go ahead and celebrate, please, with me that we're going to be able to move ahead after 8 years of waiting for the lease.
But
right?
You had premonitions.
That was 3 years ago. And I'm always cautiously optimistic. I'm always in a position of not going full fanfare, which I wanted to do. But I said, boy, Toby, don't go out there because your heart's just going to be broken again. And sure, true to form, then I got wind that RCL was sniffing around. RCL, as far as I'm concerned, and from what the data that I've seen, they didn't even apply. And when the decision was made, my lease was done signed. So they sent the AG as the axeman, right, on the 27th of February. So I signed on the 8th of January 2020, and just a few short weeks later, they sent Carl Bethel with Joshua Sears and Candia Ferguson to tell me your lease ain't valid. Wow. And to try scare me off. Well, I got the cojones that are going to fight them back
now,
on that.
Because people might just identify the names that you're calling, but the offices is what you need to be able to talk about.
Okay,
I think so, Joshua was the advisor to the...
He was a senior policy advisor to the Prime Minister at the time. Yeah.
To the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Carl Bethel would have been the AG
Attorney
at the time.
General, and Candia Ferguson was the Director of Bahamas Investment Authority.
Okay, so these collectively was the process of being able to get those particular things. And let me see if I can take a telephone call. Calling on the line with us live, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Hello. Hi.
Hey, good day, Howard.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good day, Mr. Toby Smith.
Good afternoon, ma'am. How you doing today?
It's so good to hear from you. Aww. After all this shit been going on.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
My question to you is, but I think you answered it just now while my phone was ringing there, that you had this land first.
Yes.
So my thing is, okay, seeing that you put in for it first, how is it then that the now Prime Minister who spoke to you about your deal back then did not just went ahead and approve yours, even though the court stated that you didn't have any rights to it? Why didn't he then say, okay, that's no problem, we will go ahead and do it with him and then give RCL what was remaining? How is it that you all didn't come to that conclusion?
It's not my conclusion to have, my dear. That was a conclusion that only the minister responsible can do. However, my Crown land lease was already drafted, perfected, vetted, and offered by the government to me, and it was already approved when it was at the embryo stage of a cabinet conclusion. So The minister responsible for Crown land still has that option that he could simply just go to the file, grab the lease that was drafted and agreed to, and even grab the same one that I returned back to him signed, and make it signed and sealed on his side.
Wow,
that's my point, because now he's making it seem like he's now offering you this great deal. When, I mean, I don't know if you feel the way I do, because as a Bahamian, I feel like now he is trying to, like he has always been doing, backstepping after he has stepped forward and put his foot in his mouth. You understand me? I mean, my apologies. But that's how I feel like he's doing, because it seems like he makes a lot of that type of mistake where he do things or say things until somebody come out and speak against it. Then he would go back and say, okay, let me do this over.
Yeah.
You understand me?
I understand. I understand.
You should have had your back from day one, knowing what you went through and for how long you went through now. This is your third government going through this. And this is wrong. This is very wrong. And you want to tell us that we are supposed to invest in our country?
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your telephone call.
I appreciate your call, ma'am. And you know, it's not... I understand how you feel, and I know you could only imagine how I feel. responsibility as far as what decision the Prime Minister wants to make, but I'm imploring the Prime Minister to make the decision to support my project, and let's get on with it.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back. It is a Friday evening, well, afternoon. Get yourself prepared. I know you're going down to Willie D's Kong Salad Stand. You're going down to Tiki Hut. You're going down to Devanya's. I heard the caller from Rose Island talk about, well, you was talking about the hot sauce. You're going down to Devanya's to do those particular things. Make sure you do that. We're going to take this commercial break and be right back after this.
Tarifta is almost here, and Alive has partnered with TCL for you to capture gold at the 2023 Tarifta Games. Switch to Alive and get a free TCL 30 Plus or TCL 30 SE on select Alive postpaid plans to share pictures and videos of our Bahamian athletes as they hit the tracks to win gold. Visit your nearest Alive store or mobile van location and come gold with us at the 2023 Tarifta Games.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Excuse me for me to interruption. Boy, come. And the quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, I'm please gonna roll the lawn. You went to see my number one town around town. And it's a Friday evening. Boom! The people them tired of working. Bada, bada, Lord, them hear the disco playing.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company on a Friday right here at the Foundation, being able to chop it down. It is a kind of a laid-back Friday. We're having good conversation, I suppose. Traditionally, since we kicked off the thing, every Friday was supposed to be like sort of a laid-back day that we just talk about whatever and kind of give a synopsis of the week. But it always took a turn. And I think that this time that we live in requires us to be able to be sober-minded and somber and transparent in our thinking, transparent in our thinking as we be able to commit ourselves to these things. So let's just be very clear about that. Today we have Toby Smith in the studio with us, and we're talking a great deal of things. I see some numbers in there. I'm going to give the numbers out. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. We're talking all manner of things that has to do with entrepreneurialism and the next step that needs to happen in the country. Let me read a text. It says, but isn't that the point? Bahamians should not be locked out of the investment area because it is being said that we don't have the money. This is where empowerment of Bahamians should take precedence. We are tired of the concessions being given to foreigners and Bahamians being locked out. Let's make it easier for Bahamians. This is sentiment, man, Toby. Talk to me about it. This is a general sentiment, the thread that runs throughout our society that dream and idea that you've presented formally to the... I can give you a smaller thing. Mm. I was in Grand Bahama. I'd lost my job at the hotel, but I had some skills to do some stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm in Grand Bahama. I got to take care of my family. I got to do what I got to do. I had two kids at the time, right?
Yeah.
And I came up with the concept. My mother just won. I was helping my mother the entire time in 2006-07 to be able to move towards a position as a member of parliament for Grand Bahama, Maroc. Mm. And I presented this concept. I spent about $1,500 to do this business plan, did everything to a company in Grand Bahama. And I went to the Bahamas Development Bank at the time, right? And I presented it to the leadership. And the guy looks at my proposal. Listen, this is a whole $1,500 he holding in his hand, you know.
Yeah.
He swing it open. He look at two pages. He say, man, you don't need our help. Your mother's AMP. What? I said, what the hell?
There you go.
I said, watch me. The next day, I said, sir, can I reschedule a meeting with you on Monday?
Yeah, and bring my mommy.
Watch me. So I know in the meeting, He said, yeah, Howard, come back on Monday. That's no problem. We'll have a conversation. Mm. Monday, I told my wife and kids, I said, listen, you all put all your clothes on, all your church clothes, right? Mm-hmm. I said, get your passports. Give me the passports. Mm-hmm. My wife was like, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. I said, baby, don't worry. Just do what I ask you to do. Mm-hmm. I put my formal clothes on, and I went and sat before him. Mm-hmm. And I threw my passports, all four passports, at the table. Mm-hmm. I said, sir, you see my mother in here? Look around. I said, it's my wife and my children. I'm a Bahamian. And I should be afforded an opportunity to be able to go across there. And I stood up. Now, you know, I was a big guy. So he thought I was trying to get personal with him. But I'm impassioned at this point. Mm-hmm. Because why is entities like this, the entities that we trust for the idea of Bahamian development and an opportunity to get your dreams out, mm-hmm. why are you subjected and relegated to the sideline mm-hmm. and marginalized for the expedience of politics? Why are we always subjected to, well, go find your politician to get those things done? Mm-hmm. Why can't there be formality and decency mm-hmm. and give us an opportunity? I feel like this is your fight. I told you, this yeah. ain't just your fight, Toby.
No,
this
man, it's
fight.
All of us. We're all in this together. And today it's me. Tomorrow, maybe it's someone else. Yesterday, we've seen the struggles of our forefathers. And you mentioned earlier on about the privilege that you have as far as your mum is an MP. But why is it that the first question when you make an application is getting reviewed?
My mummy didn't lend me that money.
No, but why the first question is who they is? Who they is.
Who your people is.
Who your people is, right? And when you look at, as far as equality is concerned, though, Howard, right? When you go through the due process, Google Lands and Surveys Crown Land Lease Application Form. Google it so mm-hmm. you can see it for yourself. And it actually has one of the points right there is that if you're a foreign entity, mm-hmm. apply through the Bahamas Investment Authority. Mm-hmm. So they get red carpet, and we get stuck with dust mm-hmm. down at Lands and Surveys at Bay and Armstrong. And when you follow up, oh, so your issue is receiving attention. Just a cut and dry, blanket, generic response, right? But you said that our grandparents had to fight with Burma Road and all the other civil disobedience and things that we had to do to fight for equality, mm-hmm. right? But what response are we going to give to our grandkids mm-hmm. when they ask us as grandparents?
We let go and let go.
What did you do?
Is that what we should say? We let go and let go. Let's fight, man.
I'm fighting for it.
Let's fight and make the thing happen. Guys, give me a telephone call. The lines are wide open. Let me take this telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you for taking my call. Is Toby there?
Yes,
yeah, Toby, right here.
Yeah, Toby, I remember some time ago when I submitted a very good application to the Bahamas Development Bank. I was almost sure that it was coming through because it was a grand idea.
Right.
A few months later, I saw the package being used in a...
Talk to me.
...structure over Paradise Island.
Mm.
And it seems to be this is the way we do things here. We have, you know, it's really us who on the ground who have the good ideas because yeah. we see the problems and then the solution.
Yeah.
And then we submit it to someone for a little funding, and then they find someone bigger because the bigger person can give a bigger kickback because someone called earlier saying... that the cruise ships would double something. Mm. So it tells you that they are in the business of kickbacking. So probably we are onto something here. These people are receiving large sums of money from contracts that they get ideas from the original Bahamian people and get a higher kickback. That's why someone who's a doctor, who could really make $500,000 of one surgery, he wants to go into politics to make $25,000 a year. You know why? Because he can hold on to large contracts.
Wow,
and
you're getting
go
heavy.
Straight to heaven.
You're getting heavy, my brother. Thank you so much for your telephone call. I do appreciate it. You're getting heavy. You see that?
Yeah,
you see that? I told you that. Yeah. The concept that exists in this country is that politics is where the ninth cloud is. That's what it is. This kind of a ninth cloud that we talk about. I'm on cloud nine.
Right.
Politics will yeah. take you right there. That's the elevator to get you to that particular position.
Yeah.
Everyone else out here is trying to be able to climb that proverbial ladder. And what we do? We hit a glass ceiling. Yeah. You don't know where the elevator is.
It ain't glass. It ain't even glass.
What it is?
A concrete ceiling.
My God.
You ain't getting over that. Who you is?
And you can't even see through it.
No. All right, no. So you could see around it, right? So when they all slapping up each other and patting each other on the back and giving themselves an award and being all there feasting at Bahama or wherever else, right? Eating lavish meals.
Two meats.
Three meats. Right?
Rodney said, is he two meats?
Right? But then people ain't got a pot to you know what in.
Yeah.
over the hill, and they just looking for something, man, because they in survival mode.
Do you
over
think,
there.
Paul, I have to ask this question. I'm always bewildered and taken back, and maybe because it's our proximity and that we live in the thick of the thing every day. I would never forget my one of my favorite prime ministers in the country, Perry Christie. Oh, did you say that? Yes, I love Perry Christie. I pause to tell you, I always love how he approaches these particular things. And Perry Christie would have stood up and said that, well, I didn't even know. There was an issue with persons saying that they did not have, at one point, toilets in the Centerville area. And when asked about it, the then member of parliament, who was there for decades, he said, well, I didn't even know that they didn't have toilets. And I'm asking myself, where do you think the toilets came from? Okay, so the infrastructure was never there. Nothing was set up. These people are poor people. Nothing is, you as the member of parliament has done nothing. Where do you think it comes from? And I always ask whether or not politicians are so elevated, they're displaced from the community itself.
Displaced? You see them walk into the pump?
That's crazy.
How can somebody relate to walking to the pump?
But these are the people that you're vying for opportunities from. And you know what's crazy? It's the people from the pump. It's vote for these people. You don't even know these people.
Yeah, but if they're not receiving a first class education, right? If they're not, all right, so let's put it like this. Let's look at the bigger picture. So a whole billions of dollars come into the Bahamas, right? And if they're measuring the billions of dollars that go out of the Bahamas in revenue that's generated by the cruise lines, right? That if that money was sitting here in the Bahamas and circulating our local economy, right? Then we'd have money for hospitals and schools and, you know, tertiary education and all these things where we simply don't. The money ain't there. It ain't filtering down to these essentials. So when you ask somebody that has to go to the pump, aren't you tired of going to the pump? They can say, well, what else can I do?
What else you want me to do?
Right. But they standing up and saying, no, it's enough. I'm tired of this, man.
No.
What song? I'm tired of this miserable life.
That was
right?
The F&M. Took full advantage of the thing and came right in and instituted the exact same misery on the people. The thing don't change.
It don't change. And they still toting water instead of saying, you know what? I'm tired of this, man. And so hats off to those that grew up like that. And now they've made a better place for themselves, right? And they've got an education. They've sent their kids off to school. And you know what's sad is? The kids don't want to come back to this.
No.
So it's breaking up families.
Because why? We get a glimpse of what life truly could be.
Could be. You know what it is when you go across somewhere foreign and
you're blown away.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Right. Jitney, you
have water in your house?
Racing through the streets. The police, when you call them, come.
You can imagine
that, right?
You can imagine people say, wow, you all actually have a toilet in your house.
Your power ain't gone off.
This is crazy, right?
You have internet.
Let me take a telephone call, Toby. Calling you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Is he there? No? Give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Let me get to some of these texts. It says, great show as usual. Ask Toby why he just simply did not reapply and would reapplying put him at the bottom of the bidders?
That's a great question. I have no comment on that.
Okay. Let me read the next one. It says, the cruise ship wants like a $3 million insurance policy on excursions to sell, to sell it from their ship.
Worldwide.
Right. It says, it's unattainable for many Bahamians. So I'm pretty sure that Norwegian is Coco Key, though. Perfect Day Coco Key, they are pronounced, okay.
No, so it's not Norwegian. It's actually Royal Caribbean are on what they call Coco Key, what we call Little Stirrup Key, and Norwegian NCL is on Great Stirrup Key, which has a rundown, falling to pieces lighthouse and even graveyard for the past lighthouse keepers and their family out there.
You serious?
Yeah, man.
Toby,
all Crown land.
You got to carry me on your boat sometime to see some of these things.
I won't take you out on my boat sometime. I say, let's take a cruise over to Asia. Let's see what garbage is getting burnt at Great Harbor Key landfill.
I want to see these things. Because I want to talk about it.
Let's pull up in the boat where South Africans that work for Royal Caribbean are coming up and telling Bahamians they can't snorkel on that reef because it's property of the cruise lines.
That's crazy. Let's talk about these things. It says, good afternoon. Are there still opportunities to invest with Toby in his project?
So I had an overwhelming response to me raising capital to the tune of me raising more than $7 million for the $3 million that I was asking for. So I closed the gate and I told my investors that, you know, I've raised what I need. And I went gung-ho into meeting with the Prime Minister with proof of financing.
You got everything they asked for.
Oh, yeah, and then some.
My God.
And then some.
So let's read the next text. It says, Toby's middle name must be Tenacious. Respect, my brother.
Respect. Thank right. you.
It says, Howard and a few more white brothers like Toby would come together and speak up. Maybe the powers that be would listen. It seems like he is on this fight all alone. Toby, these some texts are coming through. They like your fight, but they want to be able to hear more persons be able to come up with that sort of tenacity that you have. I think you have a good support. Jesus.
Man, I think I got a great support, and I appreciate every one of you. And this ain't about color, man. Any race, religion. I mean, I'm all about inclusion, man. So this ain't about that. I got what I think is a very bright idea, pun intended. And I think that this is, for all the right reasons, this is simple litmus test. Yeah, pun intended.
I think it's a double entendre there.
It is, absolutely. It's a very bright idea. And this all comes back down to restoring the Paradise Island, Hog Island Lighthouse for free so Bahamians can enjoy it.
Yeah.
And have greater beach access, right? Where I want Bahamians and all my boys to come over and come and enjoy some beach that we're getting crowded out of.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? Valet for $25? To walk a mile? To get to the beach was crowded? You can't even go there no more on the boat because they got swim line in front of it.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Montague?
It's too much. Guys, let me take a telephone call. Is that a call? No? Give me a call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Or hit me up on the text. I get like a whole Episcopal. This is too much. This is way too much. I can read some. I can't read the whole thing, right? And then I'm going to take a commercial break. It says, Howard, what's really sad is that this very issue runs very deep.
Oh, yeah.
He says, this is the main reason why I get so frustrated when people get so passionate about Haitians and other illegal migrants and how we complain that they are taking our jobs and taking over and making it bad for Bahamians. In reality, what you have discussed here today proves that the foreign investor inflicts way more economic havoc and makes it worse for a far greater number of Bahamians. And in reality, that are running, they are running the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And they have taken over. Look at the amount of concessions that the capitalist foreigners get. Look at the amount of money that they take out of the Bahamas. Look at the negative environmental impact that they are having on the natural resources. It is amazing how we can be so passionate to speak against our Caribbean brothers and sisters. But when it comes to standing up against the foreign investors, we are quiet. This just proves to me that we are still mentally enslaved and being controlled by the devices of slavery, which has us fighting against our one another while we turn a blind eye to more serious threats. I read the entire thing. This is wild. Ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grandier Company. Quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after this.
Excuse me for me to interrupt, child.
Fidelity.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764. Fidelity,
we're good for you.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SB. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with The Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Excuse me for me to interrupt, Sean, but you come and the quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, and a police gonna roll over the lawn. You went to see my number one town around town. And it's a Friday evening, boom! The people them tired of working. Fena, Lord, them hear the disco playing, boom! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be great and with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 liter. And this a digital sweeter. See London just a up with the echo chamber. Watch your man. Play the play. I dream on tear off the game. Them off is safe with them cast it and I'm saying. Oh Lord. Play for the vibe. Let's keep them alive. Play this coming. See my feet jumping. Oh, I'ma play LP. See them really love me. See my feet jump and spring. But this a dance and a free. And it's a Friday evening. Boom. The people them tired of.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company on this beautiful Friday. I want to thank all those persons that remain committed. And I just want to thank you for being able to tune into the show and participating. This is the foundation. I'm grateful for it. I'm hoping that we're on a good trajectory. I'm hoping that you're engaged enough. I'm hoping that we're having these kind of conversations that you feel a part of. If you do, please give me a text, 827-0111, if you want to be able to hear more about those things. I'm really thinking about being able to kick off like a foundation podcast after. Talk to me. Toby, give me some of that $7 million that you ain't spending right now.
Let's see if you should, man. I think you're very popular and high advertising revenues.
You see how I slide that in there?
Yeah, man, you should. You should. I support that 100%. I want you to come over. How about come over PI, man. Start your blog going over there.
I'm ready to go.
All right.
Toby, you know I've been doing this.
I know this.
Toby,
you're a professional at doing it, man.
Toby, you know from Patio Politics, I carry my desk with me.
Yeah, man. Anywhere. Remember that? Right. Down in Rawson Square.
Okay,
I know this.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please participate. If you want to be able to see more of that, give me a call, 827-0111. You've heard enough of the advertisements as it relates to Small Business Thursdays. Yesterday, we had Fidelity Bank on. I want to say thank you to Fidelity Bank for being able to support. And also, we did a remote, our very first remote here at the foundation. We did it with the Department of Inland Revenue. Now, trust me, I got some questions. We want to talk about this taxation that's being able to come down. It's in the paper. So next week, we're supposed to have the Deputy Prime Minister, Chester Cooper, in to talk to us more specifically about tourism and this position.
Really?
We're going to have that conversation next week. We're hoping that we can be able to get him booked up and to kind of be able to do that. Guys, please give me a text. Let me see if I can read a few more of these texts. It says, Howard, the chief justice said that Toby did not have a valid signed lease. End of story. Start over. This is the information that's coming through. It says, pleasant afternoon, Howard. Toby, how long is this paradise crown land is going on, right?
11
years. Is this paradise crown land going on, Mr. Smith? I pray that in the end, and as soon as your initial crown land is granted to you, that you are able to proceed with your project and hire some unemployed Bahamians.
Absolutely.
Some stuff.
Thank you.
He says, to solve the problems, grant Toby his crown land and RCL will build on the land they purchase. Both will have the opinions of the public and an investment, right?
There you go.
It says that these politicians must realize that today's middle-aged and young people ain't putting up with them and their foolishness like our forefathers used to back in the day. Hell no, as the text is coming through. It says, more power to you, Toby.
Thank you.
Many good Bahamians are out and we're waiting to celebrate when you get that victory.
Yeah, man.
God is with you, right?
Yeah.
These are some texts coming through. It says, so Howard, what could the pastors on? So what cloud the pastors on? Politicians sometimes only get 5 years. Look at how much years pastors get. They said, I don't think the pastors are any cloud. I think their aspirations is heaven. Listen, should we have one of these conversations about this message of empowerment that includes richness. Let's talk about that one of these days. This is a text that's coming through. It says, good day. Let me take a telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live? Go ahead. Go ahead, caller, you on the line with us live? What? Hey.
Hi, how you doing today, Howard?
All is well, my brother.
And Mr. Smith,
good afternoon, sir. I'm well, thanks. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. You are actually telling the Bahamian the actual truth that the former administration, the FM administration, grants you the Crown lease, give you the documentation, then cancel the Crown lease several months later?
No. So they offered me, after having drafted, perfected, and vetted the lease, they offered it to me. I accepted it with my signature being notarized by an attorney and sealed and returned back and paid for. And then I haven't received anything in writing from the government since then as it relates to that. But I was brought in. So I signed it on the 8th of January and I was brought in on the 27th of February. To Carl Bethel, the ex-attorney general, to tell me it ain't worth the piece of paper it's written on.
So you're telling me now, these are the same, not Carl Bethel, but the rest of them, the former administration, who are now the opposition, who are standing up in the House of Assembly City, now fighting for Toby Smith?
Hey, man, I appreciate all the support I can get. If their wisdom comes about, but I know that it was Minister Double Delta because he was the minister responsible for Crown Land. He's even said himself in the public domain that he offered it to RCL and it was tied to the Grand Lucan. They took us down the garden path not once, but twice with the Grand Lucan deal.
Mr. Smith and Howard, Mr. Smith never need to enter politics again. I know he's the representative for Kalani, but he needs to just resign and go off in the sunset if he did something like that to a Bahamian.
They want me run for Kalani.
Oh, Jesus. Watch out, Toby!
Brave said, you remember the other day in House of Assembly, they were challenging each other and who's going to run where, Cat Island, whatnot. Yeah. I can know plenty of people in the constituency of Kalani, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen, that is the show today. I want to thank you so much, man, Toby, to be reading
thank
this last
you,
text.
I appreciate it.
What were you saying, Howard? What were you saying? Now, look here, don't take on this Nassau road raging attitude. You could let one car out the corner and still get where you want to go. Now, listen to me, Toby. I got to put dark tints on my truck. They get to stop. These people are looking deep in my truck. I got the windows down. They look at me. I passed yesterday. The fella was on a big long line. Yesterday. The fella say, Howard, man, you let me out.
But there's the thing. If you can let one out, right? But all them 6-7 cars behind and all them cubes coming out the corner, he's up, man.
My only to stop it, man, guys. It's a beautiful show. I thank you so much, Toby. I'm hoping that we got to an objective, a very clear understanding into the spirits of the Bahamian people that this kind of disturbance can happen as we go forward. Toby, we can continue to carry the water for your message.
Thank you.
And not necessarily the facts and figures that could exist in these spaces that we ingest. We're talking about the spirit, the commitment between the government and its people, the commitment that started the foundation of the PLP.
Right.
You're all supposed to be the party for the people, by the people. You are the FUBU of the nation. Right. And all you're doing is fooling us in this particular capacity. Find yourself back on one accord, realign yourself in the year of our Jubilee. Let's make these things happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so much for tuning in 96.9 FM radio. Have a beautiful weekend. Make sure you go down there, check out Devanya's. Make sure you go down there, check out Platinum Pastries. Make sure you go down there, check out B5. Make sure you go down there, check out Fidelity. Check out Commonwealth Bank. Check out all these persons Tiki Hut. Willie's Kong Salad. What you want to listen for your thesis, right? Listen, make sure you do that and have a wonderful time. Thank you so much for supporting the show. I said to you again, if you want to be able to participate going forward, 827-0111. Toby, we got to have you back.
Thank you, Howard. Anytime, my brother. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Man.
And all your listeners, you're a decent man too. I mean,
you light up the studio.
The goodness of my heart. Thank you. Likewise. Thank you.
Hey, we had a great time, ladies and gentlemen. Have a beautiful weekend. Take your sweet thing in a can out. Mm-hmm. Treat it well. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see you on Monday right here on The Foundation. Have a great day, guys.
Oh, I'm going to play LP. Say them really love me. They must be jump and scream. But it's that I ain't sign of free. And it's a Friday.